Oh, they're little thieves, man.
Yeah.
They got nimbly little fingers.
We're going to change the way we steal from your paycheck because you got a couple kids, but still going to steal from your paycheck. Maybe more. Fucking.
It's up to you.
Hey, Robert, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just, nice. Yeah, you guys were in the middle of a conversation. So.
Oh,
yeah,
it was not a major one. We were waiting for you to like say something.
I would just make
oh,
a sure.
Oh yeah, no, you guys were saying stuff.
Yeah, we're always saying stuff, saying some shit, you know. Or
talking,
or smoking some fucking weed. I was just making sure you were there, man. I just, you know, I saw you pop into chat. I hadn't asked you anything yet. It's just like maybe I'll start talking about this podcast called Is It Worse Than That We Do?
311.
While I'm smoking this weed, you know? But if you're, like, not recording or you're not there, then why would I talk about the podcast called Is It Worse Than with Arco, Hatter, and RoboSlush? That's all three of us. Instead of just smoking weed, you know, I'm not talking about the podcast. Is It Worse Than?
Is It Worse Than?
Or Is It Worse Than 311?
Where we just talk about different cannabis strains and how they pertain to 311.
You know, I feel like if we live streamed that on YouTube like 10 years ago, we'd probably have a pretty big following.
Oh yeah, that is definitely an early adapter into the podcast shit.
It's like as soon as
I mean, even like Doug Benson had a show where they just smoked on the fucking channel. So
as soon as there was like a couple of states that were legalized, there was podcasters that were like, yo, I'm gonna live stream fucking here we're smoking Doug's bullshit fucking 316 fucking blueberry strain, blue cross with blueberry thunderfuck, you know, and then they don't have shit to talk about. It's worse than our podcast.
Bob's Road.
At least we have like a topic matter, you know, a topic that we stick to while talking about the kush that we smoke.
Isn't Doug Benson's whole thing just being high? Isn't his thing like, I'm high, and then the joke is like, punchline,
well,
I'm high.
Yeah, that's why it's not as good anymore. It was entertaining when, like, Crowder was even saying that, like, only a few states were legalized, you know, especially California. Even getting a medical was fucking cake back in the day, dude. Like, you could just...
Oh, yeah.
Show them some papes, and next thing you know, you got a card that you can go to these dispensaries. Granted, they were few and far between, but as they are now, but like it was so easy to get it. So he had that whole shtick where it was just, yeah, like I'm hella blazed right now, so I'm making these jokes. What? I did get a smoke with him. That was pretty cool. Like, that's he's like an entertaining guy. Like, but
was
his shtick ran out.
Wasn't he the guy that like ate so much fucking McDonald's that it like fucked up his system for a while and shit?
No, he was the one that did the super. So that was Super Size Me. He did Super High Me, where he only like smoked like weed throughout.
So he didn't even. There wasn't even like a second idea. That still goes right back to the "I'm Doug and I smoke weed" idea. All right,
yeah,
never mind.
Exactly.
I never gave a shit about any of that. So. Yeah. Cool. That's not what we're here for, huh?
No.
No, we're not here to do Brooklyn Nine-Nine quotes either, huh?
Vroom vroom, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, vroom vroom. We're doing the end of the month round, or the last month roundup?
Last month.
Yeah.
February 2020. Is it worse than February 2024?
Pew, 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 pew.
It is. Like
explosions.
Actually, I don't know. What is it at this point? 311? Are we still sticking with the 311 scale? Is that what was happening?
Is that the whole point?
Oh, okay. I don't know. Whose podcast is this? Who came up with this stupid idea?
We learned to love along the way, Crowder. So.
Don't you fucking lie to me. You don't tell
the
me
answer,
what to do.
There was no treasure at the end of the journey. It was the journey itself, dude.
That's right.
Oh, fuck. All right. Well, February's journey was mostly a little bit of pain for me, and I feel like I've been saying that like 4 or 5 months in a row now.
No, you're not wrong.
Crowder doesn't like music.com.
Yeah. Yeah. What the fuck? Like, I fucking, that's one of my least favorite things is when people are like, you don't fucking like anything, because I don't fucking like anything. But then it's like, I like some things, you just weren't paying attention, or it was some shit that you didn't like, and then you just forgot that I fucking liked it. So, yeah. You know, I'm a fucking crumb bum. What the fuck do you want from me? This is, I'm going to tell you fucking what I think. This shit sucked. This month was better than the last couple months. Okay? Huh?
Yeah.
That's great. I did that for my therapist. I'm making progress.
it's that whole joke.
I
said something that made my therapist think. Now I'm, I think I'm winning therapy.
yeah, I saw that. So obviously these are all jokes because we live in America. Well, I live in America and, I can't afford fucking therapy. Are you fucking joking?
I got insurance. I don't think I could either.
So, you know, I live on tips. I can, my therapy is buying a drink twice a week. So,
yeah, right. And then a professional, quote unquote, on some sort of social media slanderizing other people's opinions about mental health, because the only way we can get like help from a therapist is by reading aphorisms off the internet. Like, that's American healthcare, dude.
Yeah, you just go, you type it into Google and you hope it's something good that comes up. It's not.
A Stack Overflow question for my personal feelings.
So, I don't really have a way to organize this fucking trash we listened to. I'm just going to start with how we have it in the fucking list here for our listenings, and we're going to just dive right in, yeah? So,
let's do it.
Well, it starts off with Robert posting something here called The Last Dinner Party by Prelude to Ecstasy. The fuck is this shit, dude?
It's what
fuck
this,
Robert.
It's what this whole month is, which is like a callback to the 80s. I mean, this person clearly likes Susie and the Banshees, these humans, and they like some new wave shit, and they made an album of it, and that's what it is.
A one note fucking drag of a goddamn album. Fucking shit. I got nothing.
It reminds me of middle of the Sushi and the Banshees albums when it was like more poppy and like, you know, maybe a little bit later in the like Robert Smith part of the catalog. It seemed like, I mean, that kind of album. So, I mean,
100%. It is like Tinderbox. This is fucking. Yeah. It was okay in that aspect. It was just kind of boring because I could just listen to Tinderbox.
Right. Oh, and I think that one of the things that's a bummer about having as extensive of a background as we do in music and all the albums we've listened to is that you have a tendency to compare, and like the comparison can kill the moment. And I think that out of albums this month, this is one of the better ones. Honestly, I think that it had range and the songs felt different, even though obviously they're in a mode. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't stop thinking, oh damn, this is a Susie album. And I mean,
but it's like,
if you're going to reference a band, I'd reference Susie over a number of bands, you know, like that's a cool reference.
I dig that kind of shit, but it's like, it's not quite, it's like Susie and the Banshee played by fucking like Amy Winehouse or something, you know, it's got this little bit of like doo-wop swing shit to it. It's got a little bit of that like 50s fucking nostalgia going on. A little bit of that Angel Olsen production.
Sure. And I mean, it feels folky at times. Like it does have some moments where it steps into like sort of guitar strumming whimsy, as opposed to like the kind of interesting instrumentation between like a drum, bass, and some synths, you know? So I feel like, yeah, it wanders a bit. So in its meandering, it can be a bit off target. But I thought as a whole, it was a fun listen. I like how big the orchestration is in the background. Like there's some pretty big sweeping, string instruments here and there that show up that are interesting. And I like the fact that, I mean, I'm a sucker for female led bands. So I don't know.
Fuck that shit. Perry, is it worse than 311?
I don't think it's worse then, no.
Okay, cool. Next up, this is how we're doing this.
Fucking A.
I'm going to discredit an album. Robert's going to explain the finer parts of it. I'm going to make upset noises while he does that, and then I'm going to ask Perry if it's worse than 311. What We Do Now by Jay Masks of Dinosaurs Juniors. This guy makes these albums and he's always playing the same fucking guitar solo, and sure, he can, I guess, kind of shred on that guitar. Everybody loves this guy as a guitar player, but this fucking shit sucks. This is some boring ass fucking music. There's fucking no thought put into this shit at all. I fucking hated this. I hated this so much that it made me question if I even liked Dinosaur Jr. And even now, as I'm talking to you, I'm not sure because of this.
I mean, this album felt like Feel the Pain over and over and over and over again. And also like Feel the Pain turned into three chords strummed gently, softly, lovingly, I guess. And then Move On. I thought it was quite goofy myself, and I did not like it. I think that, you know, if you like a Jay Massa solo, then you wait till the end of the song and you'll get one every time.
That's boring. The end or the bridge?
Yeah. In the last minute and a half of a 3.5 minute song, you're sure to get the Jay Massa solo, and he's gonna do it on that you know, distortion pedal he uses, and then he's gonna go back into a cleanish drum of a guitar and kind of moan at you with his like crackling old man voice that he's always had. Yeah, but it's like and it snaps and crackles. Like, he's like the equivalent of Rice Krispies, dude. But anyways, yeah, it wasn't good. I wouldn't recommend.
It's like he took a bunch of Dinosaur Jr. songs and said, what if I only use the distortion pedal when I'm going to, you know, do my stereotypical guitar solo that I always do? And the rest of the time, maybe like we'll put a little piano in the background. You know, maybe we'll bring like a couple other instruments, but it'll just be like more, you know, like clean guitars. Yeah. Good idea. Great idea. Let's just record the whole
it's
album.
There.
Like that.
Let's
Go.
Do it.
Yep.
And then my every now, so let's soften the edges.
So, like, every guitar solo is going to start off going, and then he just kind of meanders around fucking scales for a little bit. I don't know. And Dinosaur Jr. is touring right now. So they're like touring on this album, I guess. I don't know.
Interesting.
He probably opens for himself like a Do Make Say Think or something, you know. He probably plays a little bit of his own music and with the band, and then the band plays the things that everyone wants to hear, which is like the first four albums.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. And especially the first four albums, because everybody there was like a teenager when those albums came out.
Right. Well, and also, I mean, Lou Barlow's Sebado. So, I mean, that if you're touring as Dinosaur and you have nostalgia as your background, you can play quite an interesting catalog of music that people like from the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, and you're good. Yeah. Perry, is it worse than 311?
Oh, man. I mean, I didn't really thoroughly enjoy the album, so.
So, no, yeah, it's worse than 311. Heard. Okay. Next up, we've got...
If we're just going black and white, then if it's like or not like, then yeah.
Sorry, Jay Masses.
Boil it down to that.
Down is better than you.
Chill.
Honestly, when you hear it, you're like, eh. There's more nostalgia with that. So.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong.
Next up, we got Chelsea Wolf with She Reaches Out To, She Reaches Out To, She Reaches Out To, She Reaches Out To, She Reaches Out To. I think that's what the title's supposed to be. I think I just keep going.
Infinite loop.
I enjoyed this just fine. It's kind of like a little more trip hop than I have come to expect from Chelsea Wolf. There's like one song that's kind of got an interesting, like, fast pace to the rhythm, and is a little unexpected. I think it's the second track on the album. And even when this album kind of drags, I think it becomes aware that it's dragging and ends. So I think this is a strong performance. I think it's moving a little bit more towards the electronic side of what Chelsea Wolfe has always done. And normally I wouldn't consider that a good thing from a group that is originally known for doing more akin of metal, sludge metal, doom laden type of female fronted pop music. And to kind of put that into a more dark electronic spin, I enjoy it. Maybe I won't come back to it a whole hell of a lot, but I did like this album.
Yeah. It was produced by Dave Sitek of TV on the Radio, so I can definitely hear the influence of, like...
That's where that came from.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like... I mean, it's clear that, like, some of the instrumentation and choices, like, it pulls back on the harsher edges and it's got the glitchy, like, key moments and, like, little things creeping in the background. And I think all of that is just, like, Dave Sitek being like, dude, do you guys remember 2008's Owl and Me or whatever, their third album? I love that album myself. But, like, I mean, it seems like he's working with her on that, and it's pretty spare. I think I like how sparse this album is, actually. I like how it builds and breaks apart. I like how it starts to get harsh and hard and then softens at the end or disappears and then moves back into a space. I think that that's the strength of the album. So I thought it was quite good. This was one of my favorite albums this month.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I Barry, should. Is it worse than 311?
Oh, fuck no. This one was a good one to listen to after listening to some of the other ones.
Yeah, for sure. This one wasn't as tedious as some of the other ones.
No, this one was an enjoyable one, yeah.
Not like groundbreaking or anything, but it still had a lot of things I like. You know what didn't have things I liked? Kanye West, Vultures 1.
I knew you were going there.
If I was Ty Dolla Sign, I don't know how to dollar sign. That's like a, why is it? It's like Kesha. If I was that guy, I'd ask him to. I'd ask to have my name taken off this album. Like immediately, I would disown everything Kanye. About this. It's what?
But it's Kanye.
Yeah, I don't care. One of the first lines in this fucking album is about how he's still got some Jews on payroll. Like, my dude, you gotta stop with your, like, it was bad enough that he sounds like shit. And if you go back and listen to the fucking, our episode about it, anybody should be aware that I literally just do not like Kanye's music. I don't think he does it well. I think he sounds like shit. I think his lyrics are fucking stupid. I think his production is shit. I think it's all a fucking bullshit grift. So that alone, and the fact that this is one of the fucking, like, more boring Kanye albums and whiny. These vocals are fucking weird and whiny. Hey, I'm gonna rap at you. Fucking, it was like that's bad enough, but then you start being fucking, like, the misogyny was always bad enough and shit, but now you're just outwardly just being like, oh, I fuck the Jewish girl. I'm not anti-Semitic. Dude, you are. You fucking are, and you're leaning into it. You're doing it on purpose. Nobody fucking likes that shit.
Gross. It's really gross. If you could take the rappers off of it and just give me the beats, I would be happy with the production on this album. But that's been my take on Kanye, is that I like what he does. He used to be a producer that didn't say anything, and he wanted to become famous for rap, and so he moved from behind, you know, the boards to the mic stand. And I think that that's a net loss at this point over his last, you know, 8 records. But I could listen to some of these beats with proper rappers on them. So I don't know.
I always figured that they were like half-assed of what they should have been. Like the sound that they're going for, anything like that. Like, it just feels like he's just half-assing it and just like, this is my take on it, and this is the kind of fucking shit I'm giving to the people that eat it up. I'm fucking blown away at the amount of people that think he's a musical genius. So
like, to me, even like the fucking album starts with this big stupid choir sound with the like played out big fucking drums that I don't and there's a song, was it the song Paid? The song Paid that may as well just be Up All Night to Get Lucky. You know, like, which in and of itself is a fucking ripoff song from some other fucking shit that I don't know, but you know it is. Like you're ripping off fucking goddamn Daft Punk again. You know, I don't like any of this. I don't. It, to me, you're right. It sounds like they were like, "Whoa, we could do a track kind of like that," and then they got halfway there and they were like, "Yeah, just send it to somebody to fucking mix it and let's just get this done with."
Like. Kanye heard The Body or something and was like, I'm going to try something like that.
So maybe somebody could turn the bass up on mine and make it sound shitty.
The fact that there's a Vultures 2 and 3 coming out in the next month, both of those are coming out in the next month, leads me to believe that like either this was a rush job or my guy's just like, whatever he comes up with is getting put down. So I'm sure that what this is going to be is a project full of some interesting beats that I like and some really not interesting beats that are like rehash of his old shit. You know, like I like the warbly, staticky bass things that he does, and some of the like he has a tendency to add like flourishes, like snare drums and stuff to the beats that are to me interesting. But like, I mean, he's still very much like subverting popular music that he found from like someone cool like Billy Woods or something, you know? So I mean, at the end of the day, Kanye listens to other people's music and makes lesser versions of them. So I mean, just, whatever.
I wouldn't be surprised if this project showed up because Ty Career Suicide fucking had a bunch of extra beats laying around and Kanye was like, I could just say I'm Kanye on top of it and we could sell it. And then Ty Dolla Sign was like, can I sing like a whiny little idiot and put some auto-tune in there? And Kanye was like, I fucking hate the Jews. And then Ty was like, cool, dude. Fuck yeah. And he's like, yeah, no, I just recorded that and put it on your music. And now your name's attached to this fucking album. Good job, idiot. Good fucking job. Fucking hate rich people so much.
Mm-hmm. Kanye West is a bad person. This is not a great album.
Scammer fucking piece of trash. God, like I'm
making tons of money though. Millions and millions, dude, of listens in 2 weeks.
Yes, people eat it up. It's one of the few things that I am actually just completely baffled at.
Pisses me off. So how do I pronounce this?
Fazor? Elado Negro?
Elado?
Yeah, like
Elado.
I think it's ice cream.
Oh. Ice cream? Black ice cream? Is that what it means, black ice cream? I like that.
Let me make sure. No, you ever frozen. Had black ice? Black, frozen black, I guess. Elado.
Oh, so like black ice or something like that, kind of?
Yeah, probably.
Oh.
Well, but Yalo is ice, so.
You ever had black ice cream? It's good. It's usually licorice.
No.
Black licorice ice cream is good. Sometimes they make it with like any flavor, and it's just black charcoal though.
But yeah. Oh, yeah,
it's also helado in Spanish, so it's a number of things. So yes, it could be black ice cream.
I really dug this album for the first like two songs, and then afterwards I just totally lost track of it and don't remember anything. Robert,
I feel like it rips me. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I'm on my. Yeah, I'm on my. I'm using my.
Can you hear me? Hear me. Can you hear me? Hear me. So what are we saying? This guy does what?
I think this is what this dude's been doing, but it reminds me of. Like, I feel like Devendra Banhart, like the last six albums, has been listening to this guy because it's very much in that style of like chilled Spanish speaking person doing beats that are nice to listen to, pleasant, like Latin rhythms and stuff. And I mean, in a very specifically all electronic style. Like, I don't think there's a lot of real instruments, right? I think that it's completely electronic. And I mean, I dug this album. Is it the best album? Is it groundbreaking? No, but like for an album that like isn't trying to break any barriers, it does a fine job of being an interesting Latin electro album. I dug it.
Yeah, it's neat. Is it worse than 311?
No.
Okay. next up on the list, Idols, Tank. It's spelled T-A-N-G-K, which you would pronounce tank. But if you look at their Wiki or their Spotify, it tells you that it's spelled T-A-N-G-K, but it's pronounced tank. You know, exactly like how you would spell that, because you probably wouldn't say tank-a-g-g.
Yeah, you would.
Fucking, this shit pissed me the fuck off. All right? I like Idols. I really do. But I have some opinions about some of their releases, and this is one that I'd probably be more likely to listen to the one that they put out called Mono that I've never actually went back and listened to after the first time. So I don't know. I don't like the poppiness of this. I think that the songs are kind of flat. I think that the lyrics are kind of lazy and that it's lacking in an emotional appeal that I usually find in their music. I think that they're trying to push themselves into a more acceptable pop form, which is fine for them. The pop, 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 bring in LCD sound system. Not for me. This is not for me. I found this is fucking a frustrating, boring album.
It's very one note. Like I felt good about it the first three or four tracks, but then I was like, okay, so they're doing like a slow, repetitious bass line with a guitar that comes in sort of a little messy here and there. Very simple, very sparse. And then he sort of like grunts his heavily British accent over the song, and then it ends, and like it's like the cool pedal effects that they used on the previous album that we all really liked are there, but they're like less interesting, and that seems to be the only focus as a part of what, like, something to focus away from other things happening, like, on the album. It's the only thing happening. And so, like, once you get through a number of those songs, you're like, oh, so they're just going boom, boom, boom. And that's every song. I felt like it was lacking. But I did enjoy the one note for a time until I realized that was all I was going to get.
For me, I agree. The first few songs are like, you know, if you can get through them. But by the time you get to a gospel, which is just this like limp piano playing and him moaning about, I don't know fucking what, I don't care what, you know, it's a, and then you follow it up with an LCD sound system song. it's just bad. It's just trying to, I don't know, do something that I don't want it to. Perry, is it worse than 311?
I mean, I probably will never listen to this album ever again. So, I guess in that sense, it's hard to get.
Well, are you gonna listen to 311 ever again?
Well, that's my point. Like, this gets hard to quantify now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. I can see it. You could call it 311 too. You know.
It's, yeah. Because this one kind of like was interesting at the beginning for what it was when I was working, because I had it in the background, but then it just completely drowned out. So I can't say it was amazing, but like I said, I'll never listen to it, but I don't
know. All right. Well, anyway, on with the show. Fucking, we got a lot to cover here. Chromeo, Adult Contemporary. I don't know. Robert, go.
I think that this album was boring and plain. Cool, yeah. If you're into... I mean, it says it's called Adult Contemporary, and like I was expecting, like, Chromeo could be fun. They've made some cool dancey R&B white boy funk shit before that was like interesting, yeah. But this seems to be pretty flat. There, it doesn't go anywhere. It does feel like really empty tones. It's all these major keys are just so boring, and it feels like they're just on easy mode. Like they turned on their machines and like are holding a button that's just a repeat pattern. I don't know. It bored me. The name fits the album. It was underwhelming, and I wouldn't put it on again.
I don't think it does fit the album. In fact, I was pissed. I was pissed the fuck off, Robert. You know that?
Yeah, me too.
Because I read the words adult contemporary, at least I tried to, because on that album cover, it's written real dumb. But I read the words adult contemporary, and I thought, I'm going to hear some Steely Dan-ass fucking Christopher Cross-type fucking bullshit. Give me some fucking Hall & Oates, right? Which is also a song off the last album we just talked about by Idols. It's kind of boring. We named a song Hall & Oates, and it's like a band. Instead, I just got the same old, instead of getting some Hall & Oates, instead of getting some soft rock, some 70s flavored soft rock sounds, you know, some 10cc's, I'm still in love type of shit. I get more disco tech funk throwback that you might hear at a fucking hippie festival on the closing set of like a Thursday night. And it's fine. It's not like I hated it. It was not like I was like, oh shit, they're doing a really bad job at this overly produced electronic funk shit. But they've been doing it for years now, I'm fucking over it. I needed more adult contemporary instead of maybe two songs that started off sounding like some Steely Dan, and then immediately turned into fucking Daft Punk playing Uptown Funk type of shit, you know.
Yacht Rock would have been tight, dude.
Yacht Rock would have been dope. So that's tight. What we needed.
Tight.
Perry, is it worse than 311?
I guess, yeah, man.
Fair. Yeah,
it was okay.
I like your... the defeat of your decisions. This is you're just like, maybe not, but yeah, we're just gonna say it is.
Gonna start cutting it dry. Like if it's like if I'm never gonna listen to it again, like, you know, if I'm starting to hone in like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm loving this. All right, here we go. Big Anonymous, El Perro del Mar. Talk about an album that I won't listen to again unless I am like very depressed and just need some quiet moaning in the background to cry to. It was fine.
Strings.
Yeah, some strings, but like sparse. Strings. Everything's real sparse.
I can't remember the name of that. Lickily. It's like Lickily, but even more sparse than what she does.
You lick my wee. Fucking do that. It's fucking gross.
I mean, Swedish artists always to me tend to be a little more interesting, even like they're always doing some weird form of pop music that like it's off enough that it's interesting to listen to. And so that's what this album was like. Dark strings, you know, whisper vocals at times, interesting high pitch, like probably about death, whatever, you know, like it's big sad, and then it ends and you're like, okay, well that's good that it's over.
I was gonna say her voice though, she could sing anything and I'd be like, all right, that's cool. Like she's got a fucking voice, dude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. I could also just fall asleep to this album though.
Oh yeah,
maybe have some nightmares, but you know. Perry, is it worse than 311?
No,
it's not. You heard it here first. It is not worse than 311. Like it's the news.
We need the ticker sound.
This just in. It's official. Big Anonymous is not worse than 311. And now back to friends.
Whoa. This album. We're not going full on band yet.
Oh, my bad.
We haven't been there.
My bad. Anyways, let's talk about Lime Green, One More Thing. I could give no opinion about this and it would all be the same. I had to make my decision As to whether or not I liked this generic garage-driven indie pop rock shit, by what the cover was. And the cover is, it looks like two people, one are wearing darker jeans and the other is wearing a lighter pair of jeans, but you just see their legs, they're hanging off of a bed, so it looks like a darker pair of jeans and then a light one, then a dark one, then a light one, and they're wearing mismatched socks and their feet are hanging off the edge of the bed, but you just see the bottom of their pants and their socks, and their socks are mismatched and it's just so quirky. And just so sophomore year of art school that I can't help but decide that I fucking hate this. Hate.
This is like a hard version of Young Kids by what's the name of that band? Oh my god, they're
Whistle Song.
Yeah, definitely something I don't like. Peter Bjorn.
Peter Bjorn and John. Yeah, it's like a harder version of Peter Bjorn and John. That's what this album is.
Sure. Yeah. Uh huh.
I mean, I feel like
there's some of that in there.
This album had this album felt like an album that was too late. Also, based on the cover art that you described, it should be like a twee, like Bell and Sebastian album. But like whatever, you know. I don't know.
It may as well be that too.
Yeah, okay. I could see that.
Perry's it worse than 311?
Yes.
If I don't give a fuck, Robert. I'm moving past it. I'm mad.
Next.
Frontier Ruckus next. On the North Line. Oh. I fucking hate Frontier Ruckus so much.
I did not much enjoy this one, so.
I put this one on at work. And it was like during the day when it's nothing but barflies in there, you know, like 70-year-old dudes, they're just waiting for their livers to die. And I am too. Fucking no offense, love those guys. They're fucking
paying great your fun. Paycheck.
Yeah, so but I put this on and they were like, it took like two songs before literally the whole bar was like, yawn, dude, can you put something else on? What the fuck is this? And that was the point where I was like, wow. You're like, they're a little too beyond a Frontier Ruckus fan, but like they're almost the demographic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like that they're making music for people in their 30s and 40s. You know, like, I think that that's appropriate. I mean, it's like all the lyrics are very like mundane sadness about like living in a place. And I think that like at some point, like, aren't you that if you're the guy at the microbrewery with your kid every, you know, weekend doing as you wrote so succinctly in the chat, letting your child climb the wrapped vines of hops on the baluster or whatever.
I swear like, to God, every fucking every single time I hear about Frontier Ruckus, it's some dude that's like 45 to 55 sitting at a fucking microbrewery drinking a fucking IPA trying to talk to me, even though I don't want anybody to fucking talk to me because I'm trying to drink my beer, grab my six pack and get the fuck out of there so I don't gotta watch their little fucking bastard children run around unsupervised in a goddamn bar. And Frontier Ruckus bugs me. It's just kind of boring, generic background filler.
I like the banjo player and I like the multi-instrumentalist. And I think that the lead singer writes for the kind of lyrics that they write and like what kind of world they're in, which is just like very much we're from Michigan and this is like, and Michigan is sad, which reminds me of Sufjan Stevens, who is an artist I very much like, right? Like,
who is also another Michigan artist that I despise.
No, right. So, but I feel like this kind of music is, I like the instrumentation and I think the multi-instrumentalist slays, like whenever the horn pops in or he's playing in the saw or whatever, like I really dig that. And I like this album. I don't know if it's their best one by any stretch, but like I think that it's a solid addition to their lineup. So,
and I mean, I guess to be fair to Frontier Ruckus, I do not like the eclectic indie mixed with 70s country and folk vibe. I don't. It, to me, it's it borderlines on, you know, Robert, when you talk about roots music,
Yeah.
How you have a hard time with it. It is that. It's literally that. When I listen to these bands, it's like, we took some roots music, we added a little bit of rock and roll and a little alternative. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to sing like this. And I can't get into it. I can't get
That's fair.
I feel like it's trying to be sold to somebody, and I'm not sure who. Maybe you. That's a fucking...
Yeah, or maybe
the guy at the microbrew, you know,
could be you. Yeah.
And while I'm talking about the guy kind of would look like Perry right now with the beard and the yellow beanie on. Is that a car? That's not a Carhartt beanie though, is it?
No, this is Nike. So,
oh, fascist. Mm-hmm.
Fuck me, right?
So no, I've got the more expensive product. Shit. Perry, is it worse than 311?
Oh, I did not enjoy this one bit at all. So
for a second, I thought you were going to say, I did not even listen to this.
No, I think there's a few in the chat I did miss, but so far we're hitting on all the ones I did. So
we're
going for that. But yeah, no, for me personally, I'd say worse than, because I'm with Crowder. I just don't dig this kind of style of music. So.
Okay, let's hit these next ones real quick, because we're going in on 40. All right. Granddaddy, Blue Wave. Why did Granddaddy make another album? I'm bored.
Electronic folk music, just like the last album, but electronic.
Perry, is it worse than 311?
Yeah.
Fucking Heems. Heems, new album. This man fucking raps like an 8-year-old. I fucking hate this shit. Go.
I mean, he was always the worst rapper of Das Racist, and his rhymes have not changed in 2 decades. And the only thing that's positive about it is the fact that he uses like the Punjabi rhythm section in his beats.
But how many times can he rhyme man with man though?
It's for like a whole fucking 16 measures, dude. 16 bars on that bitch.
That's ridiculous.
This guy's just like, I got bars. I drive cars. I've gone to bars.
I'm a moolie in a schmoolie with a coolie hat.
I love that, like, this whole album, I was kind of like, man, it sounds like he's kind of trying to be like, really dumb Quelle Chris, and then at the end of the album Quelle Chris just like kicks the front door in, and what's the fucking quote, oh man, hold on,
motherfucker, shut up or something.
No, that it was close to that. It's fucking, oh god damn it. And now my notes are all fucked up too. Where are the fucking notes? This quote is so fucking good, and it's gone. Everything's gone. Everything's just fucking ruined. You hear me? Look what I did. You just look at it. Look at what I fucking did, you guys.
This is my hole.
Quelle Chris shows up and says, I'm going to need every one of you bum-ass rappers to shut the fuck up. And... it's fucking hilarious because it's the end of the fucking album. And I really did feel like he was sitting there listening to the album, just like, this sucks, until it finally got to the point where he just like stepped up to like pushed fucking Heems off the mic and was like, no, you guys need to shut the fuck up for a second.
He's there for us. Thank you, Quelle.
Yeah. Thank you, Quelle Chris. Thank you so much for calling out everybody on this album. The fucking guest spots on this album destroy Heems on every fucking track. Perry, is it worse than 311?
Si,
bueno. Like I said, I lost my notes.
I mean,
Royal Otis.
Yeah, okay.
No, Royal Otis, Pratt's in Pain. I hate this.
It was just like Limegarden. It was a very similar sound, throwback, 2008, cool, garage almost. And then there was some electro in the beginning. Like, I thought it was going to be a better album, but then like the first two tracks were completely different. It seemed like they released a single that that was cool and they were working on that single and that's the back half. Like, oh, we used to make this kind of music in the first two or three songs. We're like, well, but let's try to make something electronic and garage. And then they left that sound completely behind and we're like, oh, we're just another beach rock band.
It kind of sounds like they're hoping maybe Danger Mouse from 2008 will show up to help them produce something. And sometimes sure. It kind of almost sounds like 100 Gex with the singing. These tracks are all over the place and they just can't hold any focus or give me anything that I actually want to listen to. In fact, it's kind of produced like shit too. So Perry, is it worse than 311? It's worse than 311. Okay. Breaking news again. Worse Royal Otis. Worse than 311. Also, go read their profile on Spotify. Go read the description of their band.
See, you'll hate them even more. Band, but I'm just talking about this album in particular.
So, oh, okay. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
This is their only album, so.
Why did we listen to it?
That doesn't forebode it for anything.
Why the fuck did we listen to this? What the fuck?
Next.
Son of a fucking fuck. Maya Shenfield, Under the Sun. This is an album that has a lot of texture and a lot of space to it and was surely a lot of fun for that type of album. But Robert here kept talking it up. And so I decided I had to listen to it one day while I was walking home. And it's not exactly like walking around music.
No, it's sit in a place and stare at the wall and be sad music.
Or terrified. It's a little terrifying, too.
Yeah. And then it breaks with that the middle song, Interstellar, and it's just like, all right, well, that was a wild introduction, then drops back into, like, playing, playing, and just, like, off. It's, yeah.
Wow. Perry, is it worse than 311?
No, I don't think so.
MGMT, Loss of Life. I don't like this.
Did I already say?
Yeah, is it Perry? Is it worse than 311?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Shit sucked. Fucking.
Yeah.
Lame as shit. Robert, give us something positive to say.
I listened to it twice because you were very upset about it, and I was, like, not mad about the first listen through. The second listen through, I was like, oh, okay, cool. So, like, they, like, psych rock from the 60s and 70s, and they like the Beatles, and here's some chords, and oh, we run a keyboard at the end. I mean, it's not the kind of stuff they've been doing, but it sort of is the kind of stuff they've been doing. So I don't know. I enjoyed it. There's a couple of songs that I really like off of it, and I think that, you know, it's a little goofy for them, but I also think they've been making tongue-in-cheek music their entire career, so I can get behind it.
Sure. I just, the combination of acoustic guitar with the electronics and the clean singing were not for me at all. I regret listening to it. The next album is by not Sunny Day Real Estate, but Real Estate, and it's called Daniel, and they are not Sunny Day Real Estate. They are just Real Estate. And apparently they've been making this crappy fucking boring picky fucking music for a while now, but I don't know who they are. I only know who Sunny Day Real Estate is.
The Real Estate has been making albums forever, and this album, I literally was like, have I heard this song before? This sounds like they're clean. You know, it's beachy, like, from that period when every band was a beach band, but, like, they were, like, one of the ones that broke out, but I literally had no idea if this was a new album or if I had to keep checking to make sure I wasn't listening to, like, an earlier album. So no
Perry,
need
is
for this unless you're a diehard fan.
Perry, is it worse than 311?
Oh, yeah. It was too singer-songwriter-y to me. But in that bad way.
In the bad way, right, yeah. Yeah. It's not like Bob Dylan 1967 way, like, you know, bad. next up, we got The Past Is Still Alive by apparently Audrey Plaza pretending to be Nico Case.
Yeah. I saw that album cover and was like, straight up, is that Audrey Plaza?
So hooray for the riffraff. If you look at several, like, she's similar. There are multiple pictures of Hooray for the Riffraff, and she looks like Audrey Plaza.
But that album cover in particular is really, like, I had his double take a couple times.
I might have liked it more if it was.
Oh, it would, hands down. Let's not get started on Aubrey Plaza. I'd be like, Aubrey Plaza here.
what a talented person, you know? Funny. great actor. And she could rip off Nico Case and Courtney Barrett. That's fucking great. But instead, no, it's... What is this fucking name again? Hooray.
For the Riff Raff. She's a New Orleans artist. I don't know. She was not very big. And then in the last couple of albums she's released, she's become like a critical darling. It's fine. I've never been into it. It's country Americana. Get it. And she sings. Come on, Courtney Barnett. Dude, Courtney Barnett sucks. She can actually sing as opposed to not sing. And Courtney Barnett's more like punk. But anyways, yeah, it's a fine album.
It's fine. Okay, whatever. Perry, is it worse than 311?
Yeah, I'd rather see Aubrey Plaza in that cowboy hat.
This makes me so happy. Perry's just like, yes, it's worse than 311. They're all worse. This is great. Okay, so where were we at? The lead singer or one of the people that does the singing stuff on the Stereolab band did an album. It's called Rooting for Love. Their name is...
Letitia Sadier? Sadier? She's always speaking in French, so I don't know if it's pronounced in a French way or if it's, like, not. So
this is fine, but... found parts of it a little too abrasive for how clean it was.
It has a very Baroque pop sound that British people love. It reminded me of a Clientele album. It reminded me of a Stereolab album. And like, if you like either of those things, you will have no problem with this. And like, it's super clean and sort of quirky. So I enjoyed it.
Perry, worse than 311?
I got no input. I missed this one.
Quick rush. We're gonna push these last ones out. My fucking recording died. Allie X, Girl with No Face. I like this. I like synth pop. I like when it's all fucking gothy. I like girls that sing good and it had a nice energy to it. Fucking like this. Robert, go.
Yeah, great album. It was fun to listen to. It sounded like all the things that you want from an 80s album.
Good fun. Perry, is it worse than 311?
Fuck no. That was awesomely 80s. I loved it. So.
Fuck yes. Let's go Allie X. We're all a fan of that. The Body put out a new album with Disfig called Orchids of a Futile Heaven, and it's a Body album that they just keep. That's it. There's a girl singing on it sometimes. There's more
girls. Chelsea Wolf's album with The Body on it.
It's Chelsea Wolf but darker.
Yeah,
it's a mix between that Chelsea Wolf album and the what was that other one, the Big Anonymous, fucking yeah.
And then The Body scream.
There was part I was listening to this album, and after I was real stoned. It was just like, fuck, am I listening to? What is this like dark ambient girl singing stuff? And then all of a sudden, it was like. Crushing deep electronic bass distortion and somebody going, rah! Rah! I was like, oh yeah, it's The Body. That's right. I forgot that this was a Body album for a moment. Because it almost isn't.
Yeah.
No, they're true. They're not as prevalent as usual.
They're really leaning into that. Let's make an electronic bass drum hit. Also like a loud droney chord. Type of thing.
It reminded me of the Full of Hell album too from a couple months ago.
Yeah, I could see that. More atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perry, is it worse than 311?
Nope.
Judas Priest put out an EP called Serpent and the King. Did anybody listen to this?
Yes.
I gotta skim it and
Perry, is it worse than 311?
Oh, it's worse than 311. That's
okay. Really, I like the first song, but I won't fight you on that one. Here comes the big winner of the fucking month of February 2024 is Ace Frehley's 10,000 Volts. Fucking.
This is our crappy music in a nutshell. Like, this is like music played at a bar by people that unironically think that Bud Light is the best beer.
I was going to say, well, not anymore.
And also hate it because of bigotry. their own bigotry, not Bud Light.
They moved on past that, but you know, whatever.
What the fuck are you kidding? Like, what? How? What?
Vocals are all over the place. Terrible. Like, it is just like, bro, are you, what is happening?
The guitar playing is just like the most basic D-bag hard rock guitar playing you could ever fucking think of. Like, listen to these names. Fucking Walking on the Moon.
Oh, that's the best one. Heart. You got me walking on the moon.
Fucking, oh, Stratosphere. Whoa, Up in the Sky. Fucking Grandpa needs to go take his pills and go back to bed. This needs to not fucking
He sleepwalked and found his guitar and decided to put out an album.
Well, could you imagine being a Kiss fan and being like, yeah, dude, I got fucking tickets to go see Ace Frehley tonight. And then having to watch this shit? It's bad enough that you were gonna watch Kiss willingly.
I don't know, man. I was gonna say, people that would probably go willingly to watch Kiss might actually enjoy this album. Because
there's
of
no
the,
way.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It is. I hear you. I
people
hear you're
still
coming
go
from.
See Ted Nugent. Like,
I know. It is so dated, though. It sounds like a fucking bar band. Oh, it sounds like a 1980s bar band.
Dude, the album on the Apple Music has like the UFOs come down as he's like jamming like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hell
like
yes.
The UFOs, like the
fuck yes, dude. And it's yeah. What's with all the alien shit? Okay, Robert, is it worse than 311?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Next up, I'm just gonna talk about this Earth Gang EP real quick. It's called Robophobia. Earth Gang decided maybe they hit puberty and wanted to talk about banging. This may as well be the Chromeo album. I don't think I like Earth Gang, and people keep telling me to check it out over and over again. And really, it's just, this sounds like, you know, when you meet a really smelly white kid with dreadlocks, and they have a music suggestion for you. This is where that would come from, is that guy. And he would probably start it off with, me and my girlfriend saw them at a festival and my girlfriend really liked them. Fuck this. Anybody have a comment on this?
Not at all.
Shit's nope, worse than I mean, 311. It was...
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yep. Good.
Yeah.
this is fucking great. Fucking sick of this shit. Fucking Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum came back after 17 years to put out an album called Of the Last Human Beings. And it's like these people took Danny Elfman way too seriously and themselves.
I was going to say Danny Elfman and that guy you guys love, Mike Patton.
I was going to say there's very circusy vibes that I got. Yeah.
For years and years, everybody I knew would be like, you like Mr. Bungle? Well, then you're going to fucking love Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum. It's like, first of all, back then it was three albums, but even now, Mr. Bungle only has four fucking albums, and they're all vastly different.
Hugely different.
So, yeah, the only thing that what you're really saying is that this band incorporates heavy moments with other types of music, like jumping between genres. That's literally the only comparison you can really give. And the theatrical singing, I suppose. But I get where they're like same blood, but really not. And this the difference to me when I was listening to this album, and I didn't hate this. You know, I didn't think it was like awful, you know, for Circus Prague. That's interesting. I should have gotten on that sooner. The thing about this particular album is that I was listening to it going, it comes off cartoony. Like, it sounds like it wants to be serious, but it comes off cartoony. Whereas Mr. Bungle sounds cartoony, but will come off serious and kind of terrifying.
It feels like California moments, yeah. Run through the lens of, what are they called? Mindless self-indulgence. That's what it felt like to me. So
a little bit of Gogol Bordello.
Sure. Yeah.
Because there's some oom-pop in this album, like a bit.
And it's very complex. I mean, they want so much. It's very hectic for having so much breathing space, weirdly. Like, it feels like it should go into some heavy-ass guitar portions, but it's just a bunch of busy strings on top of busy guitars that are clean almost. It was weird. It's a weird album. I mean, it's not my favorite thing, but, like, I can appreciate the artistry of it.
Yeah, I felt some of the slower moments were a little too drawn out, though. Like could have gone back into other things and gone that route if that's what they were trying to do. But I felt it was very, I don't know. I got bored at times.
I could see that. There's definitely like spaces where like it would slow down. It would be like, oh, this is supposed to be like you're putting your ear in a spacey weird place. And here's this woman singing for 4, 5, 6 minutes. Perry, is it worse than 311?
I'd say 311 because it was interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Totally fair. Fair. Yeah. I prefer this a little bit more than some other things, but it doesn't matter. We got one more and that's it. And then we're done. And then we don't ever have to talk about February 2024 ever again, unless we're making fun of Kanye West for sucking. Nightbound eyes are blind to the day. Jesus fucking Christ. With these fucking bands, these fucking people. I'm going to read that one word. Nightbound Eyes Are Blind to the Day by Whitelands.
Isn't there like a dash Robert. In there too?
Yeah.
The Beach Nightbound. Band. The end. This was another band that wishes it had made its first album in 2008. It Beach House, Beach Fossils, Beach Daddy, all the beach bands. Beach.
Why did we listen to this?
Robert. It was released. I mean, I thought we just put up albums from the month that we should discuss.
We do.
So
we
up an album from the month, which we should discuss. That's what I put. That's how I put music up. So if you ask me, where does this come from? The answer will always be, it is an album released this month that came up. So we should listen
to it. That's not always the answer. Because sometimes I'll be like, where'd this come from? And you'll be like, oh, that's the fucking singer from this fucking band that you fucking actually really like. I'll be like, oh, that makes sense why it's here.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, in this case, it is a band from this month that I had never heard before in my life and just threw up there because somebody's got to do it.
No, I like that. But, there might be some weird ones showing up from now on. That's all I'm saying. Don't question it.
Do it.
You used to. Every now and then I'd throw things up there. You'd be like, I don't know, this only has like 1,000 listens. And I'd be like, yeah, but they kind of got a following starting. And then then I kind of stopped. I didn't find any.
You should absolutely do that.
I also just haven't really been finding any cool stuff lately. Or when I do, it's always from like 2019.
The bummer thing about this is I think that, for us as a podcast, we should be obviously listening to things that are like at least indie, classic, cult shit. We should also be listening to popular music. So, we talk about Kanye West and we talk about Taylor Swift, but we also like smaller bands. So, when I see something that's like middling famous, that's being reviewed for some reason by larger outlets, I tend to throw those up because I think that that's an interesting listen. And maybe it's a band worth checking out that we wouldn't have caught before. I mean, when you look at Consequence of Sound's release list, I don't know all the names of those.
I don't
bands,
know half that shit.
If I see a band that's connected to, like, Leticia Sadier, I didn't know her name off the top, but when I found out she was the Stereolab lead singer, well, I'm putting that on the fucking list.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That is a cult classic band that people sort of know, but I don't still really think is as big of a band as it should be, could be. So, I put it up. But, like, in this case, every once in a while, I think this one was actually suggested by Spotify. And I was like, sure, why not? This is something that either people will egregiously dislike, or maybe it'll be interesting, based on the first 30 seconds of the track. So I feel we put up some interesting stuff, and trying to listen to things we've never heard of is, I want to hear new young bands,
So Perry, now that I'm done giving Robert a hard time and making him defend himself for no real reason other than my own entertainment, is it worse than 311? The white person band, whatever it's called. This is our land, white land. Fucking weird name. Weird ass fucking name, man. It's a weird name.
It is, because I felt like maybe they were trying to pull off the Moody Blues kind of vibe, where they named the albums after like phases of the day and shit like that.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
And then it wasn't.
No. It was just kind of like shoegazy beach music. Is it 311?
I didn't thoroughly enjoy it, so.
So
if exactly. we're going, I keep, yeah, I don't like that. This fucking format, because if I say it's worse than 311, it sounds so bad, because it's like.
You have three options.
Yeah. I don't mean I don't like.
Stuck in the difficult zone.
It's a weird thing to break it down, if you think, because it's
Look, bro, I listened to this shitty fucking beach album one time through. You want me to compare it to the fucking 90s band that I never listened to? Like,
yeah,
hey, what's going on next week? Or the week after, or whatever. Oh, we're going
to
watch.
Are we on a break next week?
Thank you.
This month that we are in. What month is this? March?
March, yeah.
We are going to cover the band Ghost.
Oh, that's right.
If I get it released on time, it'll be March. Unlike the Coldplay album or the Coldplay episode that's going to get released as a double feature with this episode, because I was lazy.
A twofer, baby.
Yeah, why not? Fucking, it was my birthday last week, man. I was just kind of, you know, taking
it
easy.
Happy birthday.
Bullshit. Thanks. What was I saying? Ghost. We're gonna watch the movie Ghost. Because we're listening to the band Ghost.
Fucking
and
A.
That's I think I made a mistake somewhere.
Nah, man. I already watched Roadhouse recently, so I'm all on Roadhouse.
Oh, the new one with Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, it's not out yet. And fuck that
Shane
movie.
What the fuck is that? It looks
Conor McGregor.
Dumb.
It looks
terrible. Conor McShane McGregor.
Yeah. No, like I'm very annoyed. There's a lot of things wrong with that movie. Apparently, I guess Amazon fucked things over, because when the movie was getting made, it was still MGM, and then Amazon bought them. So then they scrapped any theatrical releases to put it on Amazon Prime Video. So, everybody's, it's basically kind of what happened to Disney during the COVID with some of those animated films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
there's also other shit. There's other shit coming out that apparently they used AI to subsidize writing during the writer's strike for some of the scenes.
Well, that's going to be a good idea.
So, it doesn't sound that far-fetched for Conor McGregor's role.
Yeah, no, it sure doesn't. It's just one of those,
Bro,
I keep seeing people, scared out of their minds of AI and shit, and it's like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Are you looking at the stuff that AI produces? Because it lacks certain human logic, and it's obvious.
Yeah. Oh,
and
it's super obvious.
Especially, these people that, I think it's a cool tool. I think it could be used, you give
use
the
it at
AI
work.
A prompt. Yeah,
I
gives
use it
you
at work.
Back,
I
and then you
literally put code in and be like, "Yo, this isn't working. What should I be looking at?" And it'll be like, "It'll prompt me back." So
right, and it'll give you suggestions and shit. And it can be wrong, and it can be right, and whatever. It's great to use it that way, but I feel like a lot of these people are thinking that they're just being like, "Computer, make me a script," and then not reading it and just being like, "Here you go. Let's go talk about how grandma likes to eat daffodil cookie cakes." What?
Somebody just released.
Makes sense.
Somebody released a series of comics that they prompted throughout, to get the style and everything. And then they prompted it to be make the jokes understandable to everybody. And it was straight up what the fuck are these comics talking about? there is no context. There's nothing where you're that's funny. You're what? No. That makes no absolute zero sense.
But every boomer fucking uneducated asshole with all these misconceptions of things that they can't even fucking understand themselves is just shitting their fucking pants over here. You're thinking AI and fentanyl is coming to kill them.
Hey man,
you know?
I did the same thing with seatbelts, so just remember that.
You know what? February 2024. Worse than fucking 311, man.
Sucked balls in a bad way.
Just done with it. Just done with it. Can't wait to watch some Patrick Swayze movies for.
Ooh, I'm excited. Ghost. After watching Roadhouse. So, Roadhouse.
Yeah. Roadhouse.
I can't believe
Roadhouse.
You picked such an obscure Japanese band from Kyoto and Tokyo for next month, dude. I can't believe that, dude.
If, hey, by the way, though, like, listen to that because that shit's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not the band. Ghost
and Ghost.
Yeah, the band Ghost. I'm talking about is not Ghost BC is who we're listening to. The other Ghost is kind of dope. That stuff's kind of cool. You should listen to it's that. Weird. The Japanese Ghost, but the other Ghost. Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right. I didn't pick this because I like it.
Well, that's kind of obvious.
Okay, Crowder, we believe you as of late. You say it like that, brother.
So anyway,
I just want you to know I didn't pick it because I liked it.
Yeah, fuck this shit. Fuck this whole fucking thing. It's just torture until the middle of summer when we finally get back to good fucking music. And for now, we're just listening to the shit that idiots fucking listen to. Idiots and fucking posers. Bunch of fucking idiot posers tuning in next time so that we can talk about a movie Ghost. And then you can look at our websites like pigcrack.com and isitworsethan.com and maybe trashbugs.com, even though I think that one's down right now. I don't know. I don't care. I don't give a shit. I'm here to fucking leave. That's what I'm here for. I am leaving. This is R. Crow, Four Hatter, and Robo Slush. This has been another episode of Is It Worse Than 311? Vroom Vroom, Toot Toot, Bird Pussy, Fuck Ted Cruz, Eat Shit, Die.
Next
time. Deuces.
Next time on Dragon Ball Z.
I'm going to have a stroke doing this outro one day.